go from there in different directions of Ram Lila. We don't have the verse on the board, so I'll just... verse number 9 of chapter 10, yes. I'll just read. Rakshasvasurvyakritarupam ashudabudhestasyakaratrishiradushanamukhyabandhun Jagne chaturdasha sahasrama paraniya godanda paniratamana uvasa kritram. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Gita. Translation: while wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. There's no purport to this verse. There's a lot of violence in the Ramayana. A lot of confrontations. Also, of course, in the Mahabharata, big war, so much destruction. People complain, they say, more generally, they say, religion? It's all about violence. No, thank you. You read in the Old Testament, Christian Hebrew Bible, ooh, so much heavy fighting, destruction. So what about this? Well, first point to make is that we are dealing with the material world. One might say, one might expect, well, religion is supposed to be about peace, no? Yes. But what actually is peace? Where is the peace to be found? How is it to be attained? And who is making the violence? Who is causing the trouble? Is it the religious folk, or is it those who are irreligious? Of course, you can say it's both. But it's not religion as such that's the source of violence. That's a misunderstanding, misconception of what religion is about, though it is true that many people who consider themselves religious are acting on the level of rajaguna, tamaguna, in a very negative, violent way, and in the name of religion, they'll make so much trouble. Demons are also religious, but in a very tamasic way. And so in this case, the story of Shurpanakaha, she whose fingernails, naka, were as big as shurpas. Shurpa is a winnowing basket. This is a basket, kind of open on one end, more closed on the other, usually about this big, which is used for separating wheat from chaff and such things when you're preparing grains for making bread, whatever. That basket is called a shurpa. And they're kind of shaped like a fingernail, an upside-down fingernail. So shurpa nagaha is like that. I think we'll get back to her, but I wanted to first share some very nice verses, invocation verses. These are the verses of the invocation of, I think it's Aranyakanda. And these, for one edition, a German edition of Aranyakanda, except translations here in English. But the Sanskrit and the English have been composed by none other than your very own Ananta Sarovara from Slovenia. She's quite talented with Sanskrit. So there's some nice Anushtup Shloka verses, plus a couple of, Trishtup or something. Let's see. We'll see. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Ramachandraya Vedhase Chitswarupavatirnopi Maryada Purushottama. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra. Although you have descended to this world in your original transcendental form, Chitswarupa, you act as a human, Chitswarupa Avatirna Api, although appearing in this world in your original form, you act as a human, and the supreme example of proper human conduct, Maryada Purusha Uttama. Lokakshema pravittosi kaushalya nandano bhavan munivalla bodhaityari nripadharmanang murtiman. You are always acting for the good of all living entities, O son of Kaushalya, whether protecting the sages to whom you are so dear, or destroying the demons. You are the embodiment of the duties of Kshatriyas. Yeah, so one reason there's a lot of fighting in the Ramayana, a lot of violence, is that Rama is a king, he's a Kshatriya. And that's their duty, to bear arms, to protect the citizens as it's necessary. And this sometimes requires some violence, some violent action. But lokakshema pravritta asi. You are lokakshema pravritta. You are acting. Pravritta can mean engagement in the world. Lokakshema, for the world, for the good of all living beings. Okay, next verse. Sharachapadharo sura dandakaranya rakshaka anajasevitashriman Janaki Pranayanvita. The heroic Lord Ramachandra is the husband of the goddess of fortune, Srimati Janaki Devi, and the sole receiver of her affection. Janaki Pranaya. Armed with his magnificent bow, Shatachapadara, and arrows, Shata, and served by his younger brother, Lakshmana, Anuja Sevita. He protected the forest of Dandaka Aranya Rakshaka. Jatayo pranadane vai dukkha binena chetasa svashru dada tathetena virasyantyeshti sadita. His heart broken by sorrow, Lord Rama lamented over the death of Jatayu. Dukkha binena. Binna means broken. Like we have achintya beda beda, right? Beda means broken. Binna, breaking, broken. Jatayoho prana dane vai. Pranadana, he gave his life. Vai, indeed. Dukkha binena chetasa. He was broken heart. Chetasa, by his heart, or with his heart broken. Dukkha, in suffering. He formed the last rites of the brave bird on the bank of the river of his own tears. Sva ashru dara tate. Tata is the side of a river, the bank. And sva ashru, one's own tears, dara, carrying. So the bank of the river of his own tears. Nice. Satkati sarvajivanam daivi prakritirashraya tvangvina mohamugdanam maya mriganusaranam. The actual salvation of all living entities is the shelter of your divine internal energy. Without being connected to you, they remain entrapped in material madness, moha, mugda, and simply chase after the illusory deer of sense gratification, maya, mriga, anusaranam. That's a nice poetic expression, which of course alludes to the story of the magical deer that Rama chases. So here she turns it around and says the conditioned souls entrapped in material madness, and they're running after this maya mriga of sense gratification. Dashanano pitvat chakter bhoga peksha vimohita navagacchati vaisvasya sarvanashasya karanam. The ten-headed Ravana, Dasha Anana, also wanted to separate your eternal consort, Sita, from you, Tvat Shaktir, Boga Apeksha. Enamored by the prospect of enjoying her, Boga Apeksha Vimohita, he could not understand that this desire, Na avagacchati vai, will become the cause of his complete destruction. Sarva nashasya karanam. Karanam means cause. Okay, and then, yeah, there's three more verses. Shall I read them? Yeah, three more. Yes. Okay, the next two are some different, a different meter. Let's see. Hey Dina Natasha. Oh, these are going to be Vasanta Tilaka. He dinanata sharanam janakatma jaya. He sankateshvatula rakshaka satchananam. Tvang ravanavara jayo pahato vihasya. Se shavadanam avalam yasadashrayo bhu. O Lord of the distressed, you are the refuge of the daughter of Janaka and the incomparable protector of the pious souls in all kinds of dangers. When you were seduced by the younger sister of Ravana, I told her to change that. Shouldn't be seduced. It should be another word. When you were approached by the younger sister of Ravana, you simply smiled. Backed by the vigilance of Lakshmana Anantashesha, you were a safe shelter for your consort, protecting her from Shurpanaka's assault. So this is remembering this particular pastime of Shurpanaka. Yasyam alam ritamano harachit kriyasu sangyoja deva narabakshika pindra yutam sarvan ashushudad asimadaya balena tam ramachandram avataramaning namami. I bow down to the jewel among incarnations of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, who engaged all the demigods, the human beings, and even the birds and the best of monkeys in the pure nectar of his enchanting transcendental pastimes, thus purifying them all with the power of his unlimited mercy. That's nice. Engaging all the different beings of the universe and thus purifying. That's a nice way to meditate on Ramachandra. He engaged even the monkeys and the bears. Yes. Rikshraja is the king of the bears. Okay, last verse. Tvatpa. This is again Anushtup. Tvatpadam bujasparshena trinang prema dalanchitam medadatfanuraganum. Dandake bhakta vatsala. O Lord Rama, you are affectionate to your devotees. Which refers to which name? You are affectionate to your devotees. What's the name of Krishna with that name? Yes. The grasses of Dandaka, blessed by the touch of your lotus feet, experienced loving ecstatic horripilation with their blades standing on end. Let them bestow upon me a fraction of their devotion to you. Nice, huh? Okay, so then, well, yeah, there's Shurpanaka. There's, I have an account of that in the Tulsi Ramayana, the Ramcharitamanas. Ooh, time always goes. But before that, because, who was it? One of you were asking yesterday about Parashuram. Was any of us here? No. Someone else asked. Anyway, I wanted to read from the Valmiki Ramayana, that episode. Shall we do that? Because, yeah, it's interesting. You've got two personalities of Godhead facing off with each other. You know. I'm Rama, not you. Who is Rama? As I mentioned yesterday, it was just after Rama's wedding with Sita. They are returning to Ayodhya, and on the way, Parashurama appears. He's referred to as Rama Jamadagnya, the son of Jamadagni. Let's see, where exactly does it come? Okay, here. So they're on their way back, and only they hear these birds making whole sound. And immediately everyone shivers. Since this does not sound good, this is a bad omen. And they're talking about this, and then a big wind comes up, and all the earth is shaking, and the trees are being knocked down, and then it gets dark, which is like a full eclipse of the sun. It doesn't say that, but it's like that. Everywhere was covered with ash, and the whole army, there was an army with Dasharatha and accompanying to come back, and they were completely shocked. Everyone else, they all fell unconscious except for Vasishta and other rishis and the nuns. So they were all, they still stayed. Everyone else fell unconscious. Okay, here it comes. Wearing a coil of matted hair. This dreadful-looking man was impossible for ordinary people to look upon. For he seemed to be blazing with extraordinary energy. With his battle axe slung over his shoulder and a bow, a streak of lightning, it seemed, and mighty arrow in his hand. He seemed like Hara, destroyer of Tripura. Who is Hara? Yes, Lord Shiva, who is known as the destroyer of Tripura, the three cities. Seeing this dreadful-looking man blazing like fire, Vasishta and the other Brahmin sages, devoted to prayer and sacrifice, gathered together and discussed among themselves. Now they recognize, oh, this is Parashuram. Parashuram, what is he doing here? They're saying, surely he is not intending to again kill Kshatriyas. They're saying, long time ago that was, that he had killed all those Kshatriyas, 21 generations of Kshatriyas. And after, when he was done with that, he had become peaceful. And he had said, okay, I'm done now. I'm finished. No more. Shanti, shanti. He was happy. So they thought, no problem. But now here he is again, and he's looking really angry. And then they went before him with some you know, puja items, incense, ghee lamp, whatever, you know, flowers. They were offering and they were calling out to him, Rama, Rama. As Rama Jamadagna, he accepts these offerings, and then he turns to Rama Dasharati. Who is Rama Dasharati? The son of Dasharata, Ramachandra. So he addresses Ramachandra, Rama Dasharati, and he says, "I have heard all about your extraordinary power and how you broke the bow." So the news traveled fast. Rama had lifted this great bow of Lord Shiva in the place of Janaka Raja, and because the challenge was to string the bow, so he strung the bow, and then when he pulled it, bloop, this huge bow snapped. So already Parashuram has heard about this. So when I heard about this, he says, I came here with another bow. Now let's see what you can do with this bow. And then he explains, the bow he has is from Vishnu, the bow that was broken by Rama was from Shiva. Both of these bows have been created by Vishvakarma and given to the two lords to fight. And in that fight, long ages past, Lord Vishnu had prevailed. So now, Parashuram has the bow of Vishnu, who had prevailed against Shiva. So, well, if you can break that bow, what about this bow? So it tells that whole story in some detail about the fight between Vishnu and Shiva. And then he says, okay, Ramachandra, here is Vishnu's great bow which belonged to my father and my grandfather before him. Now take it and follow the code of the Kshatriyas. This arrow is a conqueror of enemy citadels, enemy fortresses. Affix it to this best of bows if you can, Kakutsta. Kakutsta is another name of Rama. I believe it means one whose hair is black like that of a crow. Kakutsta. Then I shall challenge you to single combat. So he says, here, take the bow. Here's the arrow. Now, let's see if you can use this weapon. And if you can, let's have a good fight. Well, then Rama speaks. He says, he speaks quite strongly. He says, you regard me as if I were some weakling, incapable of discharging the duty of a kshatriya. Now you shall witness my strength and valor for yourself. So saying, Raghava, with rapid stride, with walking quickly, angrily snatched, he grabbed that excellent weapon and the arrow from Bhargava. Bhargava is another name of Parashuram. Grabs from his hand, stringing the bow, Rama fixed the arrow to the string. Then Rama addressed Rama Jamadagnya in wrath. He says, I owe you reverence, both because you are a Brahmana and for the sake of Vishvamitra. Therefore, Rama, I cannot loose this deadly arrow upon you. So he's saying, I have to respect you, you're a Brahmin. Now remember yesterday we were discussing about his position and saying, why did he not kill Ravana? And I was saying, well, Ravana had a benediction not to be killed by anyone except a human. And Rama Jamadagnya Parashuram is not quite human. And I said that because of something that Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses, where he's explaining the avatars, the 10 sort of principal avatars, in terms of kind of an evolutionary idea, where you start with the lower animals, so Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, you know, going from water to reptile to land, and then what's next? Half man, half animal, Nrsingha, and then it's Parashuram. And Parashuram he refers to as what word does he use? I don't remember, but it's like not quite human. Semi-human or uncivil. I think he may use that term, uncivilized, so like a tribal. But then you may say, but he's referred to as a Brahmana. Yes, possibly a Brahmana amongst the tribals, because, you know, the idea of Varna is everywhere in human or even possibly semi-human society. People are naturally in different divisions. Anyway, this is... So he addresses... He says, I can't kill you because Kshatriyas can't kill Brahmins. Shouldn't do it. And he says, for the sake of Vishvamitra, I don't know quite what he's saying there. However, I shall destroy either your retreat, means his ashram, or the incomparable worlds you have won through the power of your austerity. The choice is yours. So he's giving him two choices. He has stretched the arrow on the bow. He's ready to shoot. And saying, I give you two choices. I either destroy your home, your ashram, or I destroy everywhere that you have conquered. Take your choice, one or the other. And he says, the divine arrow of Vishnu conquering enemy cities, forts, and crushing with its power all pride and strength, never flies in vain. So it's ready to shoot. It's going to do some damage, and you can decide which damage it's going to do. Well, then the demigods and sages and Lord Brahma, they all come together and they want to see now what's going to happen. The Gandharvas, the Apsarasas, the perfected beings, so many. The Kinnaras, Yakshas, Rakshas, serpents, they all came to see this great wonder. Then, as the world stood stunned, and Rama held the great bow, Rama Jamadagnya, robbed his strength, stared at Rama. He was not expecting this. Jamadagnya was stunned to feel his strength sapped by the power of lotus-eyed Rama and spoke to him in a voice grown very faint. Long ago, when I gave the earth to Kashyapa, he told me, you may not stay in my realm. Therefore, in obedience to my guru, Kashyapa's words, I made him this promise. Never again will I spend a night on earth. Therefore, heroic Raghava, please do not destroy my retreat, my ashram. Ashram is considered not part of earth. Maybe it's, I don't know. So it's only pleasure he can go, apparently. I shall go there with the speed of thought to Mahendra, best of mountains. Okay, that's where his ashram is. But with this great bow, Rama, you may destroy the incomparable worlds that I have won through my austerities. Let there be no delay. So, okay, don't destroy my ashram, but you can destroy everything else. Everything else that I have conquered. From the way you handle the bow, I know you to be Vishnu, Lord of the gods, and imperishable slayer of Madhu. Hail, destroyer of your foes. All the hosts of gods assembled here bear witness that you are incomparable in your deed and unrivaled in battle. And so, Kakutsta, I need not be ashamed of being bested by you, conquered by you, the Lord of the three worlds. Rama, you are true to your vows. You must loose this incomparable arrow. Once the arrow is released, I shall depart for Mahendra, best of mountains. And so, when Rama Jamadagnya had finished speaking, the majestic and valorous Rama Dasharatha released the great bow. At once, all the cardinal and intermediate directions were freed from darkness, and Rama, still holding his weapon aloft, was praised by the gods and hosts of seers. Lord Rama Jamadagnya then praised Rama Dasharati, and after circling him reverently, went back to his retreat. So, Sri Rama Dasharati ki, Sri Rama Jamadagnya ki. So this is a little episode that's demonstrating that Rama is none other than Vishnu. This is all taking place in the very end of the Balakanda, which is the first part of the Ramayana. And it's particularly in the Balakanda, and I believe again in the final kanda, that it's emphasized that Rama is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, during the most of the Ram Lila, that's not. The mood is that Rama is a human being. Yes, he is an excellent. In fact, he is the best human being. But it's not so much. It's not so much mentioned that he is the Supreme Lord. What's happening? I was thinking, Devendra's there, he's not. Okay. I think that's a sign. Time to end. So we didn't get to the Shurpanakha story, but we can continue this evening. Is that all right? Any comments or questions? Yes.
I can imagine that Ramachandra had to be very fast to take the bow.
That he had to be very fast to take the bow? Well, he was probably quite surprised at the speed with which Ramachandra approached him, because he was expecting him to be more cautious. Yeah, so all of a sudden he just comes. But he was going to give it to him. It wasn't that he was going to, you know, withhold it. So, yeah. So there's a lot about bows and arrows in the Ramayana. And you can say that this episode is an anticipation of the donamon, the final moment, the climax moment, when Lord Rama shoots an arrow at the heart of Ravana and kills him. So that again will be a bow and an arrow. So here, this is telling us what to anticipate or to appreciate, to recognize. We're dealing with Vishnu, and his arrow does not get wasted. It meets its mark. So this is a nice... a nice meditation we can have today about the arrow of Lord Ramachandra, the bow and arrow. Shri Ramachandra ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Panchatattva ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.